Matthew 5, verse 3. We're going to continue and recover all lesson 2. And we all need recovery. We need God to touch and bless. And whole people, we want to be whole people in a broken world. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You can be seated. Start off here with a little story. 1973, a flood in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. A young Raymond and his brother had bunk beds downstairs. Raymond jumped out of the top bunk on Sunday morning to find a few inches of water covering the entire basement floor. And needless to say, the family didn't get to church that day. Raymond's dad is a very determined, some would say very stubborn kind of guy, and he was not too happy about how the flooding upset the routine around the house over the next few days. And they were in a low-lying area of the city's north side, and the entire neighborhood was affected as the water just kept getting higher and higher. In fact, while all the kids were at school one day, the water level finally got to a place where the house became cut off by the fast-rising floodwaters. The Daily Gleaner sent a photographer out in a boat to Raymond's neighborhood. And when he got there, he found Raymond's mom sitting on the roof as things were floating by. He climbed up on the roof with her, and the first thing he saw was a couch float by. The entire neighborhood was a mess. He continued to snap pictures, and Raymond's mom pointed out our lawn furniture floating in the current. A small car owned by one of the neighbors came floating next. After they had been there a while, he noticed something strange. He saw a hat float by. But after he got about 20 feet past the house, it started floating back upstream. Then it got about 20 feet on the other side of the house in reverse direction again. And he watched it 7 or 8 times and finally said to Raymond's mom, "Do you have any idea what is going on with that hat?" "Oh, yes," she said. "That's my husband. He said he was going to mow the lawn come hell or high water." Now, the problem, folks, that we have today is that a lot of us are still focusing on mowing the lawn when the whole house is floating downstream. Okay? So, we talked about the principle, the R, and realize last week, we have to realize that I am not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do wrong things, and my life is unmanageable. Again, if you weren't here last week, you can go online and hear the first part. I encourage you to do that. But from last week, all of us needed recovery because the world is not a perfect world. None of us are perfect. Amen? Can you say amen? We all have been hurt. We all have hang-ups. And we all have habits that we would like to change. And everybody needs recovery. The good thing is that the steps are out are the same regardless of what your problem is. The root cause of our pain is our desire to control things. And the more insecure that you are, the more you want to control things in your life. Because you want to be God. When you want to control things in your life, you want to be God. But when we try to control everything, we end up with fatigue. We end up with frustration. And we end up with failure. So how do we break out of that situation? The first step is that you must get past, here it is, denial. You have to get past denial. You see, denial, folks, is what keeps us from moving into recovery. We excuse ourselves and we accuse others. And all of this is just a defense mechanism that allows us to live in denial. You see, a lost and found ad in the newspaper one time said this, said a lost dog, three legs, blind in one eye, missing right ear, tail broken, answers to the name Lucky. Now, for most people, that's denial. So what, what is the antidote to denial? What makes me finally face up to my problems? See, God's antidote for denial, folks, here it is pain. Come on. God's antidote for denial is pain. And we rarely change when we see the light, but we do change when we feel the heat. Right? You see, God uses three denial busters to get our attention. The first one is crisis. Illness, stress, loss of job, and it can go on and on and on. The second denial buster is confrontation. Someone cares enough to say to you, dude, you're blowing it. And you're about to lose your family. You're about to lose your health. Maybe your job. You're blowing it. You see, I read this once. There's an old saying that's down in Texas. It says, if one person calls you a horse's rear, ignore it. If two people call you a horse's rear, look in the mirror. If three people call you a horse's rear, buy a saddle. You ever heard that down there, Courtney? No? You're probably too young. They don't ride horses much. See, pain is like a fire alarm, folks. You ignore it, it is at your peril. Amen? And then the third pain buster or denial buster is catastrophe. You see, hopefully, God won't have to let the bottom fall out of everything before you listen to him. What sometimes happens is that the Lord steps back, folks, and he lets us reap what we have sown, feeling the full impact of our own stupid decisions. And you want to be God. Well, okay, go ahead, be God. Now, from last week, the first step in recovery is to realize that I'm not God, and I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do wrong things, and my life is very unmanageable. But this is the reality step. The next one is E, and realize and earnestly believe that God exists. We have to earnestly believe that God does exist and that I matter to God and that he has the power to help me or you recover. Amen? The second step is the hope step, folks. The good news is that there is a power that you can plug into in your life to handle things. You can't handle it on your own. It is the power of Jesus Christ that you need to plug into. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, but without faith, it is impossible. Listen to that. It is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. All right? So you have to have faith, because without it, it's impossible, it says, in order to be able to please him. And then you have to come to him. You must believe that he is God. Okay? And you got to believe that he is a rewarder of them that just coast by. Is that what it says? No, it says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, there are three parts to asking or to taking steps. Step two. Three parts to taking step two in this road to recovery. The first one, we need to understand this, folks. You have to acknowledge God's existence. And most of us have no problem with this. There are not that many atheists left anymore. Less than 2% of North Americans. You say, well, why is that? Well, because we know more about the universe today than ever before. And the more scientific discoveries that we make about the universe, the less people are willing to say, I believe it's all just happened by accident. Or, you know, a big explosion. You know, people try to tell you that it was a big explosion. I said, you ever seen anything good come out of an explosion? Not me. So, in fact, it takes more faith, folks, not to believe in a creator than it does to believe in one. Now, I could take a watch completely apart, but the pieces in the paper bag and shake it up. And if it came out as a watch, the odds would be incredible. Right? Anybody ever try that? How many have ever taken something apart and couldn't put it back together? Many of us. And usually because we threw the directions in the garbage, right? Well, that's what we do with our life. See, we get out here, we make a lot of decisions that we shouldn't be making without God in our life. And then we want to go back and find the Creator and see if He still has the directions to help us. And the thing is, He does. But it's just too bad sometimes we're so pig-headed and stubborn that we won't go to Him in the first place. Okay? Parents, if you're here, you make sure your kids don't start off on the bad foot. Amen? You teach them that God loves them and can help them. So if you take this watch apart, you throw the pieces in a paper bag, you shake it up, it's not going to come out like a watch. So where there is creation, there must be a creator. Where there is design, there must be a designer. And where there is an effect, there must be a cause. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Psalms 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doth good. You see, the Bible says it is foolish not to believe in God. See, folks, it is irrational. It is illogical not to acknowledge that God exists. And it is absolute fact that God still changes lives today. Can anybody attest to that? Amen. So, the real issue for most people is not, is there a God, but rather, what kind of God is He? What is God really like? Think about it now. So, we believe that there's a God, but how is He? What kind of God is He? What's He like? And unfortunately, folks, many people get our ideas about God by thinking He's like their parents. Come on. That is tragic. Why? Because if your father was distant from you, if he was unloving, then you tend to think that God is distant and unloving. Right? If your parents was somebody to be feared, then you subconsciously think, I need to be afraid of God. If your father was abusive, then you tend to think that God is abusive. If your parents were uncaring, then you transfer that over to God. So instead of God making you in His image, what you do is you make God in your image. Think about it. I'll say that again. Instead of God making you in His image, you make God in your image. Now, often you hear someone say, my idea about God is, who made you the authority God? So just because you have a certain idea about God, does that mean it's right? No, it doesn't. It does not matter, folks, what you think, what I think. It only matters what God is really like. Amen? So, we have to understand something. We have to understand God's character. We must not only acknowledge God's existence, we must also understand God's character. All right? What is God really like? Until I know what God is really like, I cannot trust God. Come on. Is this all right? You see, I'm not going to trust something. I'm not going to trust someone that I don't know anything about. But fortunately, folks, God wants us to know what he's like. He wants us to know. So he came to earth over 2,000 years ago in the form of a human being. He came as Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 15 through 17, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, so such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Now, if you want to know what God is like, just look at Jesus. You see, God knows all about my habits. God knows all about my hurts. And God knows all about my hang-ups. Amen? God knows the good and the bad. And nobody knows what I'm going through. Right? Wrong. God does. Amen? Psalms 56, verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle, and they not in thy book. Psalms 31:7. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Psalm 69:5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. There is nothing off the record with God, folks. Nothing. And God knows the good days. He knows the bad days. God knows the dumb stunts. God knows the foolish decisions. And amazingly, here it is, God still loves you. Right? He still loves you. Amen? Can we just thank you for that right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But here we go, folks. The fact is, God is not shocked, here it is, by your sin. You see, because he knew it was coming long before you did. And he even knows why you did it. Even when you do not know your own motivation, God knows. And folks, God's not shocked. He's not surprised because he knows you. Come on. I want to tell you tonight, folks, God cares about your situation. He really does. Not only does God know about your situation, but God cares about your situation. God knows that we are not superhuman and that we fail, but he loves us unconditionally. And let me tell you something. I'm going to step out here right here a minute, folks. Listen, folks, saints of God, I pray that we can ask God to help us have a heart like he does so that nothing anybody does can surprise us. And nothing that anybody does or how they look or how they act or whatever it is can shock us. We love them no matter what. Because that's what God does. And we are to be like him. Amen? So, God wants to be the loving Father that some of you have never had. Psalms 103, verse 13 and 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, folks, God can change me. God can change you. God can change me, my situation, and God can change your situation. And not only, folks, does God know about your situation, not only does he care about your situation, but he can change your situation. Amen? Sometimes he changes you. Sometimes he changes the situation. And sometimes he changes both. But God knows what's best for you. God, here it is. Here's the thing. All of what we talked about, here it is. God is waiting on you. Come on. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power? You ever find yourself paralyzed with procrastination? You know, it's something that you know you have to do it. You want to get it done, and it just scares the fire out of you to sit down and do it. Or how about this? You got to buy something. You know you have to buy it. You have to. There's no way around it. You have to buy this. And you're paralyzed to go spend that money and buy it. Now, I've often done this. I've had, you know, I know I got to buy it. I know I got to do this. So why not just get it over with? But we procrastinate sometimes until you can't procrastinate anymore. Right? So you find yourself sometimes paralyzed by procrastination. And I know I need to do this, but I just can't make the change. I know I got to do it. And God says, I've got the power. I've got the power, he says. You see, if Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he can raise a dead relationship. He can raise a person back to health. He can raise you above the clutches of an addiction. He can raise you above the past so those memories stop haunting you if you trust him. Luke 18:27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Now here's the point, folks. The longer you postpone asking God for help, the fewer days you have on this earth being all God meant for you to be. Amen? How many want to be what God wants you to be? Amen. That we need to take that step. Think about old Peter on that boat. He wanted to go to God. He said, bid me to come. Now, it doesn't say that immediately he jumped right out, right? But he probably went, ooh, that's cold. Right? But he did it. He did it. You see, folks, we have to do that. We can't keep procrastinating because God has a work for you to do. And God wants to use each and every one of us here tonight, folks. And I'm asking you, folks, to take the step that you need to take so you can be what God wants you to be. Now, I know I could probably go down through here and ask the questions, and many of you are serving God, and you're just saying, man, I wish I'd have came to God sooner. Right? I wasted so many years, and I messed up so many things, and I affected so many other people other than myself. So listen, the devil wants you to have fewer days to do for God. Some people focus on their life on the past. And that's like driving a car looking in the rearview mirror all the time. A rearview mirror, folks, it is helpful because it gives you a perspective, and looking at your past does give you perspective. But only if you look at your past. You do not have a present. Okay? If you constantly look at your past, you will not have a present or a future. So whatever you're focused on tends to repeat. So if you just keep living in the past, you tend to keep repeating the past. So here it is. I encourage you to do this. Ask God for help. Amen? You have to accept God's offer. Okay? And here's another thing. It's when you ask God for help, you got to do it God's way. You can't ask God for help and do it your way because that's playing God. So it is obviously not enough just to believe in God because that hasn't wiped away the hurt. It takes more than mere belief to plug into God's power. You have to follow what God asks you to do. He said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. So I'm saying again, it takes more than mere belief to plug into God's power. But it's worth every effort because here's what he offers. In Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You see, willpower on your own is not enough. Good intentions on your own is not enough. You need God to give you the will and the power to help change your life. But I don't even know if I want to change, you might say. Well, then say, God, I'm willing to be made willing. Can you say that? Now, that kind of scares me to where God might have to take you to make you willing to allow God to help you. But I guess it's one way of getting there, huh? You see, Spirit-led living is the only way to live. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on. I just want to tell you, if you don't have that sound mind yet, it's still available. Okay? God still wants to give it to you. Folks, I want power to break habits that I cannot break. How about you? I want love. I want to love people, and I want to let go of hurts so that I don't build up walls in my relationship. I want self-control to master myself and my emotions. You see, it all comes through God's Spirit. And there is a simple yet profound principle in the modern universe. All right? Things work best when plugged in. Come on. So plug in to God's power. Come on. Plug in to what God has for you. God loves you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to help you be what he wants you to be. Because let me tell you something, folks. When you're in the will of God, there's no better place to be. Is it always perfect? No, it's not. Nobody's life is perfect. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But I would rather be with God than without. Amen? Amen. And we could all probably say, you know, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm glad I'm not what I used to be.